Imagine, if you will, a beautiful sky. A wonderful blue sky. Clear and wide. The sun is shining. What a dazzling and glorious yellow sun. You can feel its warmth on your skin. It's quiet.
No, stop
so peaceful.
It. Stop it!
You lie
stop
on
it.
Sheets smelling green grass. You're so content.
Stop it!
So happy.
Stop it!
Remember being carefree. Spirit and body innocent. Without worry. Without pain. Without suffering.
Come on, come on. Yes, got you. You can't hide from me. Where are you going? Come on, old girl. No, 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 not the directional controls. I guess that's what happens when you chase another TARDIS at this frantic pace through the vortex. They start to melt into each other's streams. Right, heading for that planet, are we? No idea which one, but that's where we're going. I'm on my way. Hold on. Hold on.
Report the development of case 2451.
Case 2451, showing signs of delusion and paranoia.
Admirable progress. Increase the level of darkness by 2% and cut back rations to once every other day.
Confirmed.
And also, starting at period 8, release a short burst of cold vapor once every 2 hours?
Confirmed. Executive Charlong, a sentinel in Zone 78, have detained two subjects, untagged subjects.
Maybe excavating workforce is escaping. I mean, quite a few of them recently. Have it take them to processing for tagging and assign them a compartment. If the Labour Division can't keep hold of their workforce, then we can always use more cases.
Confirmed.
And the ground rocks again. Completely dark. No light at all. Wonderful. What a miserable corner of the universe this is. That's better. Bit of light. Looks like this rock could have been chiselled out. And not a sand devil in sight, thank goodness. No, this has been done using primitive tools. Must have taken years, decades. Right, where are you, Alice? Ever TARDIS is here somewhere. This place is a maze. Showing the Ever TARDIS above me. Great. And I'll go up there then. Wild girls are no good for short trips like that. Now, should I take the dark featureless tunnel on my right? Or the dark featureless tunnel on my left? Agony of choice. What do you think, Sonic? Not bothered, eh? Some kind of metal wall in the rock. Can't get a precise signal. Oh well, let's go right.
Oh, this is hopeless.
We can't give up now, and we can't go back.
We might be able to slip back into the work party. Maybe they haven't noticed we've gone.
What? About our tags we had sewn off.
Oh, I don't know. We'd think of something.
Maybe. But we must be nearly there now.
Let's have a look at the map.
Map? Not much of a map, is it? Bit of a rag with lines drawn in blood.
Hold the flashlight steady.
I think the battery's dying.
Dying? Oh. After what you had to do to get that battery powered light.
Don't. Please. Please don't remind me.
Sorry. I'm never gonna forget what I had to do to get this map.
Look, let's not talk about it. Do you know where we are?
Why, I think we may be here. This intersection. Oh, it all looks the same. Dark corridors and rockets driving me mad.
Well, if we are here then we must be over halfway. We're closer to finding David.
Only halfway?
Come on, let's keep going.
Do you think it's true?
I don't know. That's why we're trying to find him, isn't it? To stop it? To do something? Instead of being...
What?
Slaves. Worthless.
Stop it! Come on. Better turn off the light for a bit. Just feel your way along the rock.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you okay?
Yes. As good as I'm going to get in this life.
Got a hand on the rock?
Yes.
Okay, be careful.
What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
No, I saw a light.
Sentinels.
What are we going to do?
That's what we brought the knife for.
Murderer, let go of me!
Quiet.
Ah! Wait until I get my hands on you.
That's not going to happen.
Where are you taking me? I can't see a thing.
Shut up. We are going to wait for your doctor to arrive. Then I will automize him.
You can't.
And you'll be next.
Ugh, take that! So dark and cold. Doctor, where are you? I'm frightened. Chan, you can't be dead. You can't be. How did this happen? This wasn't meant to happen. Mom.
Not so fast.
Oh no. Leave me alone.
You're not going anywhere.
You're a woman.
Yes, and as I was saying, you're not going anywhere apart from with me.
That's right. You're not going anywhere.
Give me that weapon. There. Not so tough now, are you?
You laborious scum disgust me. You're gonna wish you'd never escaped. This night vision view is great for tracking filth like you down.
Now get moving.
You don't know who you are dealing with.
Shut up! As a laborer, you're no one.
But we are not laborers. She killed my friend.
Nothing in your collective paths matter. Now get moving.
Start moving or I'll kill you both.
Must be getting somewhere, surely. Something's useless with this peculiar metal in the rock. Most similar to steel and composite, but not quite. This tunnel must lead to something or someplace. I must find Alice. Can't lose her too. Chand, I'm so sorry. What can I do? I have the whole of time and space at my disposal, but yet I can't go back and save my friend. Alice, where are you? What's that? Who's there?
An enormous harvest moon hung effortlessly in the early evening sky. Below it, ploughed fields framed by thick hedges stretched across the countryside as far as the eye could see. A young girl stumbled without direction along a narrow dirt track that ran alongside a field and a hedge. She was lost, but didn't care. Slung across her shoulder, a threadbare hemp bag bulging full of assorted items that she thought she'd need for her journey. As the moon rose, the sun set, and with the night came the cold. The young girl was now shivering. She stopped, opened the bag, and pulled out an oversized fleece that was actually her stepbrother's. Putting the garment on, she spotted a gap in the hedge and decided to crawl in. The opening was just big enough for her to sit within, and she rested herself down on the uneven broken twig and stone-covered dark, damp earth. Spiny, sharp branches stuck out above and from the sides of the hedge, making movement uneasy. She trembled and folded her arms in an attempt to keep warm, but the freezing late autumn evening ensured that it was a futile attempt. Her long red hair fell across her tear-stained face, and as she shook from the cold, she watched her breaths mist in front of her green eyes. The silence of her surroundings and the dire state of her situation led her to once again recall the events of that day. It had started well, a fine, fresh October morning, coming downstairs to find a steaming bowl of porridge with a spiral of honey on top made for her by her mother. In her 10 years of life, she'd always associated Saturday mornings with the smell of porridge being one of the 2 days of the week, the other reasonably being Sunday, that she got to spend with her mother. Her parents had separated before she was even born. Her father was from a well-to-do family and, upon her birth, had no problems in claiming custody over her, as her mother was at that time unemployed and without a permanent address. As much as she enjoyed the prosperity of life with her father, she could have anything she wanted. It was no substitute for the warmth and love she received from her mother, That morning, they took the bus into town. It was busy as usual, and the young girl was delighted to see the town's Christmas lights being set up, hoisted between one side of the high street and the other. They made their way to the town's outdoor market, which took place every Saturday on the grounds in front of the town hall. The young girl loved the mixture of aromas that emanated from the various stalls. Fresh fish, bread, vegetables, cheese and incense all combining. The market was bustling, and the young girl felt herself being shoved from side to side as she held onto her mother's hand for dear life. She then became aware of a commotion, shouts and screams and a high-pitched alarm echoing all around. She tried to look, but couldn't see through the sea of bodies in front of her. Suddenly, the crowd began to move and part, and in what seemed like a split-second blur, she found herself separated from her mother's hand and pressed into a crowd of strangers. She saw a flash of someone running past. The crowd was shouting. There was struggle and shrieks. A lifetime seemed to pass, but could only have been a few minutes. She could hear people shouting and the sound of sirens. It was only as she pushed her way through the throng that she saw her mother, lying on the cold pavement, her lifeless eyes staring wide back at her. She went to approach, tears welling in her own eyes, but got pushed back by someone. People were kneeling around her mother. They were trying to bring her back to life. A stream of blood reached the Velcro-fastened shoes that the young girl was wearing. Hours later, she was back with her father and his family. She had said nothing, just cried. She had heard talk about a robbery, a knife, a desperate criminal on the run, how her mother had been in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was easy to leave her father's house. No one noticed. They were all caught up in the drama. So away from the family farm she walked, across fields and fields, until she found herself in the hedgerow, with the events of the day replaying in her mind, and tears flowing down her cheeks. After some time she heard voices, shouts of her name, Alice, being called over and over again. She didn't move or make a sound, but eventually a man's face appeared at the opening of the hedge. She didn't recognise him, but his rugged features smiled at her. Alice awoke from what had been a peaceful sleep. Sitting up, she found that she had been lying on a bench in a park. Golden leaves dropped from tall trees and glided to the ground below, carried on a light but cold waft of wind. Alice swung her legs off the wooden seat. She was dressed for the weather in jeans, black boots, a thick green sweater, and was wrapped up in a yellow knee-length woolen coat. Her hair blew across her face as the wind speed picked up. Looking around, she saw people out strolling, kites being flown, dogs being exercised, and children enjoying themselves on the brightly painted swings, roundabouts, and climbing frames in the play area. Beyond the boundaries of the park, she saw the city, London, rising up into the sky with its familiar landmarks greeting her. She smiled to herself and then yawned. She hadn't meant to fall asleep, but a week of long days and late nights studying for her history finals had taken it out of her. She checked her watch. She was shocked to see that she'd been slumbering for almost 2 hours. Yawning again, she jumped out of her skin as her mobile phone sprang into life, playing the annoying ringtone that she'd never quite got round to changing. "Hello?" she said, rubbing her eyes and once again yawning. "Babe, it's Chand." Alice rolled her eyes. "Hi," she muttered. "Where are you?" he asked. "Where am I?" she questioned, as if it was any of his business. "Yeah, you said you'd be back." "Yes, and I will," she replied, picking up a fallen leaf and examining it. "So you're still coming then?" "Yes," she moaned, "if I have to." "You'll be doing me a favour." I know, helping you get your leg over." "Oh, don't say it like that," Chand whined, adding a salacious laugh. "Well, I'll be back soon." "Okay, I'll start getting ready," said Chand. "Ready? Bit early, isn't it?" questioned Alice, tearing the leaf apart. "Nah, I want to look my best." "So you're on your way?" "Yes, stop harassing me. I've said I've come to your stupid club." "Right, okay, see you soon." "Bye," Alice replied, closing the phone before Chand could respond. She shook her head, dropped the leaf, and stuffed the phone back into her coat pocket. As she stood up to make her way home, she noticed dark, menacing clouds had appeared, and instantly she felt cold and fearful. Then she was aware that she was alone in the park. Everyone had gone. She stood frozen to the spot, watching the grey clouds turn black, slowly feeling that an uncomfortable presence was behind her. It began to rain, and a crack of thunder sent a sharp shiver through her body, and she began to walk, quickening her pace at once. She knew something was following her, and it was closing in, but she was too afraid to turn and see what it might be. Fear gripped every part of her being, and her speed changed into a run. The rain was now pouring, soaking her to the skin, and as she ran, she finally dared to glance around. She saw to her horror that a black void, a mass of nothing but emanating pure evil, was closing in on her. As she scurried on, her phone began to ring again. Pulling it out from her pocket, the display was flashing Chand. She looked back to see the void about to envelop her. She started to scream in terror, screaming madly for help, but none came. Alice felt warm grains of sand under her hands, heard the sound of waves lapping at the shore, felt a warm breeze on her body. Examining her surroundings, she saw that she was now uncharacteristically dressed in a skimpy bikini and was sitting alone on a pure white coastline. The sun was bright and it was very hot. She was forced to cover her eyes as the sun shone brighter and brighter and brighter. "My eyes!" she cried. "My eyes!"
The new case, 6637, is doing extraordinarily well. I've activated the neural stimulator when it was put in a cell.
Let me have a look. Yes. Yes, her mind is fragile. It must have suffered some recent trauma to show such quick responses. Excellent. And case 6638? That was brought in at the same time.
It's getting angry.
Well, that's a start. Have case 6637 taken to cell 2009 and then begin intense processing.
Confirmed.
My eyes! My eyes!
Wake up. Wake up.
Where am I? My head.
You're in a cell. You passed out from the beating.
Oh. I ache. I can't... ow. Everything hurts.
You're lucky you passed out and a beating was all you had to suffer.
What?
You'll be all right. They've been doing something. It's been dark and light. Cold and hot. Strange noises, too. There's a horrible atmosphere. This planet is cursed.
What? You!
Ugh! Don't bother! Save your strength!
Ow, my arm. Doctor.
What's so great about your doctor?
He makes things right. And I am going to kill you.
Will you stop it? You're weak, pathetic. Anyway, that's not what I've heard about your doctor.
What?
He is a Time Lord, right?
Yes.
The greatest evil that ever existed.
Evil?
Yes, evil. The butchers of galaxies, the pillagers of time, and you and that Chand, lieutenants in his new one-man army of destruction.
That's rubbish. Utter rubbish. Who told you this?
Supporter of freedom. An operative who backed the Daleks' reversal of the Time Lord's evil actions.
Crap. Whoever told you this has lied to you. I don't know what Daleks are, but I know that the Doctor is the greatest, bravest person I've ever met.
Ha!
You! You'd been following us.
Yes. In the time vehicle of the despotic criminal known as the Monk.
You killed him, too?
Yes. And it was a pleasure.
You're the evil one! You're doing the killing!
Quiet!
No! You were following us! In that bone box!
Yes, and legend said that the Time Lord's craft would blend in with its surroundings. Ha!
And did you ever see the Doctor, or see us, the Doctor's supposed lieutenants in death, or whatever you said, hurting anybody? Were we living in a trail of destruction? Answer me! You murdered my friend!
Shut up! Let me out of here! Let me out!
Who's there? Alice?
Keep quiet.
Oh, that blade at my throat feels like it's rather sharp.
And when Ron moves, you'll see it slice into your skin.
If that's the case, I'll keep quiet.
Who are you? You're not trusting the Sentinel.
Answer.
You told me to be quiet. Oh, that is a sharp knife.
Who are you? And what's that in your hand? Is it a flashlight?
Well, if you take that knife away from my throat, I'll be happy to tell you. I mean you no harm.
I believe in you, sir.
You do?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. But when Ron move or shout for help, this blade is gonna...
I understand.
Well?
This is a sonic screwdriver. Don't you have light?
The battery for our light is running low.
That's rather unfortunate in circumstances like these.
So, who are you? You can't be one of them if you're scrabbling around down here in the dark.
No, I'm not one of them, whoever them are. I'm called the Doctor, and can I ask who you two may be?
A doctor.
You're a doctor?
The Doctor is my name, but yes, I am a doctor of, well, many things.
Are you a deserter? An insurgent? Did you work for the clinical division?
Did you see my child, my David?
Please calm down. I'm afraid I'm none of these things. Now tell me who you are.
You're not a spy, are you?
No, I'm not a spy. Please be calm.
Okay. My name is Ruth, and this is my husband, Isaiah. What are you doing down here?
I'm searching for my friend. She's been kidnapped. Her abductor brought her to this planet. I'm a traveler.
You have a ship?
Yes, I do.
Our son was also taken.
Taken by whom?
Taken by Sentinels to the clinical division.
What happens there?
We're not sure, but no one ever returns.
What race are you? What planet is this?
We're descendants of a race of pioneers who set out from their own overpopulated world, traveling across the stars in search of a new planet that they could call home.
Yeah, here we are.
What happened to that vision?
They found a beautiful world.
Huh.
A planet rich, life, untouched. They began that new life. They prospered.
I don't understand.
It is said that one night a bright ball of light crossed the sky.
Yes?
Then came torture, slavery, and death.
These are only rumors, really. Hearsay. Stories passed down from one generation to another.
Life now, if you can call it that, for us consists of mining. Constant mining, digging into the rock.
What for? Ah, the metal ore?
Yes. How did you know?
This, my sonic screwdriver, picked it up. And what about the surface of the planet?
I doubt if it even exists. Not as our forefathers once knew it anyhow.
We hear that the construction division has plundered the natural resources.
Thousands of us live underground. Us laborers aren't allowed above ground. I'm not sure many do. Maybe not even the executives.
I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I like answers. Who or what are executives?
There are many divisions, departments.
You said the labor, construction, and clinical divisions?
Yes, and there are others. Within each division are subdivisions, headed by an executive and his clerk. Apparently the subdivisions compete against each other in order to keep productivity up.
But what is it all for?
We don't ask questions. We work, rest, and work. We are beaten, starved, and our children, once they reach a certain age, are taken away.
Taken away?
There are stories. Horrible stories.
Don't say it.
It's okay. So who's in charge?
In charge?
Yeah, the head honcho, the president or whatever?
We only know a name.
Which is?
The principal.
Your nerves are frayed. Sudden movements and loud bangs leave you shaking. Your head throbs. You feel nauseous and dizzy. People are getting in your way. Their presence getting under your skin. Eating away at your ragged patience. Won't all that noise ever stop? When will you find silence and peace in your mind?
Sorry to disturb, Executive.
Yes, Clark. I was just administering deliverance to Case 5229. It will be soon ready for the final conditioning, and then... What is it, Clark?
Sentinels report 3 untagged subjects in Zone 97.
Really? If we keep getting all these subjects, we might have to make a report to the Labor Division. Schedule a meeting with the other executives and Principal Vash.
Confirmed. The executive meeting.
Detain the 3 subjects.
More cases. Our section is doing increasingly well this quarter.
Confirmed.
Has case 6637 been moved to the cell?
A sentinel has been dispatched to obey with your command.
Wonderful. I will add it to my report to the principal.
Yes, executive.
Continue with the deliverance, reading 264, Clark, and then administer extreme neural stimulation, one of the principal's many wonderful innovations.
Confirmed. It's a beautiful, beautiful warm summer's day. You are free, liberated from the confinement of your mind.
Don't try anything. Case 6637, come with me.
I'm not a case.
Silence! You're the pale one. Move forward.
Me? No. No, leave me alone.
Move!
Leave her alone.
Get back!
Ah! No! No, let go of me! Let go!
Silence! Or you'll be beaten again!
No.
Now I can find a way to escape.
So the Sentinels, clerks, and executives are descendants from the first settlers also?
They are, but they have been corrupted by the lure of power.
Sometimes people do things they wouldn't normally do because they're scared themselves and think only of their own survival.
I would be tempted too.
You would?
Yes, but I could never do those things that they do to their own people. It's inhumane.
Maybe, but some days, I just wish for the death.
I'm sorry to hear that. As I said, I'm looking for a girl.
You need the Joy Division.
No, her name is Alice. Have you seen her?
We've seen no one since we broke out of the camp. Just you.
When I find her after this is all over, I'm going to maroon myself on some asteroid and keep out of the way. The lives that get damaged, ruined, ended by me.
Doctor?
I'm sorry. A friend of mine was murdered, and it's my fault. That's not going to happen again. I'm going to find Alice and get her home safely, and then disappear.
I'm really sorry to hear about your loss, Doctor. I've never seen or visited a doctor before, but if you are a doctor, then don't you have a duty?
Duty?
To help people, and to heal them.
The only duty I have right now is to my friend.
Then we wish you well. We have to find our son.
There's something coming.
Could be a sentinel.
Wonderful. Maybe they've seen Alice.
Get down. Don't you know what will happen if they see you?
Of course I don't.
Then pray you don't find out.
They're getting closer, Doctor. Turn on that light.
Right.
They're going to come right past us.
Ruth, whatever happens, remember I love you.
I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
Hello there. That's a strong flashlight you have.
Freeze!
Yes, it is quite cold down here. I don't know how you cope, dear fellow.
Drop your weapon.
Weapon? This? It's a screwdriver.
Drop it. And the other two. I know you're there.
Yes, come out and say hello too.
What are you doing?
We'll be executed for this. Or worse, become a case.
Oh, no. No, you wouldn't hurt anyone, would you?
Drop your weapon.
My dear boy, as I have already said, it's not a weapon. It's a screwdriver, so I can't drop it if it's not a weapon.
He'll kill you.
If you were to say drop the screwdriver, I may be happy to oblige.
He'll shoot, Doctor.
Shoot? That little gun wouldn't injure a fly.
Doctor!
I suppose a screwdriver can behave a bit like a weapon, sometimes.
What did you do?
Setting 19987. Absorbed the energy from his gun and held it in a split-second status and returned it to the point of origin. Only works for low-energy blasts, but useful nonetheless.
You annoyed him on purpose?
I did, didn't I? He'll be okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
No, thank you.
What for?
What you said to each other.
What?
Love.
It's not that hard to say, Doctor.
You go on, despite everything. I like it. Come on then, let's find David, was it?
Yes, David. We will help you find Alice.
Thank you. We better start moving. And we have a new torch. Oh, and a pair of night vision goggles. Come on.
Permit me to inquire how the meeting was, Executive.
Certainly, Clark. Out of the 199 other executives, only 18 were turned into cases with their clerks promoted to replace them, including Executive Fernan, who had been the most proficient executive since records began. Principal Varsh does not tolerate weakness, especially of age. I imagine Furlan will make an excellent case. And as suspected, we are the most efficient clinical division. You're quiet, Clark Gable. Maybe you have visions of being an executive yourself.
Confirmed.
I'm sure you will prosper further one day, Clark, just as I was a sentinel and then a clerk before rising to become an executive.
Executive, the sentinel sent to take the absconded subjects?
Yes.
It has reported as being attacked.
Attacked?
Yes, executive.
Insurgents? In my sector?
Unclear, executive.
Master Brising saw many executives turned into cases. Alert all our sentinels and have them lock down that area.
Confirmed.
And have that latest batch of completed cases moved in case of further attacks.
Confirmed.
Oh, I hope the principal doesn't find out about this.
At last!
Yes, the tunnel was widening, and I do believe it's getting lighter.
You're right, it is. We must be approaching somewhere important if there's a light.
That'll be a bit of a providence with all the twists and turns we've taken.
Oh, my eyes!
Oh, mine too! Ah!
Are you okay?
Yes. They're not used to the light.
Maybe we should stop and let them get used to it gradually.
No, it's okay.
If you're sure.
Yes, I'll be okay.
And you?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, let's see where we are.
Where are we?
It seems like we're at the top entrance of some kind of giant warehouse or storeroom.
Look, sentinels!
Get down!
Will your screwdriver thing work on that lot?
No. There seems quite a few of them, isn't there?
Maybe that sentinel raised the alarm.
I thought I tied him up pretty well.
It doesn't matter. We would have got three eventually.
What are they doing?
Looks like they're organizing search parties.
What's that sound?
Sounds like a lot of feet. Oh, man.
What are they?
It's David!
Quiet!
What have they done to him?
I don't believe it.
What is it? What have they done to him?
There.
Please, no.
Get in there!
Not the dark again. Ow! Hello? Who's there? Hello? I can't see. It's too dark. Who are you? Sorry?
You will be like me. You will be like us.
We meet at last, Doctor.
I hope for your sake I find her before...
Stand back.
Principal, I'm receiving reports.
Yes, the doctor is here.
If you waited this long, you should be willing to wait a little longer.
I'll tell him I had to kill you because you tried to escape.
You are powerless against the will of the cyber race.
I will stop this. They're your worst nightmare, a race of emotionless beings with only one purpose, for you to be like them.